Thank you so much, Ryan, for making the connection with a nuclear accident at my ordination date. That makes it real special, I'll tell you. It was really one of the conclusions I reached. I did not know that picture was coming. I have been reflecting upon 39 years this week because I knew it was coming, but I did not know that picture was coming. The conclusion I reached when I looked at that picture was hair is overrated, don't you think? That's, of course, an envious statement I just made. We are at the end of a sermon series entitled Kingdom Culture. And throughout these many weeks, we've been focusing on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' incredible sermon from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, those powerful passages of Scripture in which Jesus has this incredible sermon. And today, as we conclude Kingdom Culture and our focus on the Sermon on the Mount, I want to share with you the last verses, the last things that Jesus said to those people that were gathered that day. This incredible message. And think about the imagery that he paints and put all of what we've been learning in the context of these last things that Jesus has to say to the people. And we'll give you some time to reflect upon them. One of the things that's so meaningful and powerful about Jesus' words is that they're always contextual. And I'm sure you've already picked up on it in the music and the way that Ryan and the team led us. They're really bringing, through music, God's word into the context of our lives so that as we sing and as we hear God's word, the intent is for us to make the connection. And really, God's making the connection about what's going on in our lives right now and how these words might apply. So listen to these words in that context. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, said Jesus, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority. That authority is the authority that Jesus had from God. It was God's authority by which he preached and taught and brings his word to life. And because our worship team is so good and so intentional about this, they are always seeking ways for us to reflect upon God's word, to give it time to sink into our hearts, into our minds. So as we watch this video together, reflect upon the video in the context of what you've just heard from Jesus' lips. So how firm is your foundation? In the context of your life, the life you are living, how firm is your foundation? That's what's so poignant about God's word. It addresses each and every one of us in the context of our lives. God speaks to each and every one of us. As we reflect together today on these words of Scripture and allow them to come to life, I'm going to impose upon you a little bit. Although I didn't know that picture was coming, I did know that this was the day, July 15th, was the day of my 39th anniversary of ordination. And so what I've done this last week is reflect upon this passage of Scripture in the context of the lens of 39 years of ministry. That day that happened 39 years ago was very, very, very special to me. We know that each and every day is designed by God to be special. In fact, God's word says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So each and every day is intended by God to be special. And yet we know that there are certain days that seem to have some incredible significance for each of us. And so it was that as I was ordained 39 years ago, I'm reflecting upon it from two contexts, well, really three. One is, not only was that day special and significant because of what happened, but I thought about it in the context of the privilege of being a pastor and being able to share God's story, the Jesus story, a share about God's love and God's mercy and God's grace and God's forgiveness in the context of real lives. I thought about the privilege of being a pastor and being pastored by precious people, the precious people that God has brought into my life, including you. And I thank God for you this day. You know, I have been oh so blessed during my 39 years of serving as a pastor. And I remember that on my ordination day, July 15th, 1979, I remember vividly that the people that were part of that service, that celebration of being a pastor, the people there were the people who had truly helped me understand what God's kingdom culture was all about. The people that were there that day to celebrate were my Sunday school teachers, or we would call them Sparks leaders. They were my student ministry leaders. They were my current pastor and former pastors. They were friends and neighbors and people who had brought to life the Word of God and lived it out in their context of their lives, so I knew that that Word was real and meaningful and not just fake and not just hypocritical, but rather they had lived with me and I had lived with them and seen God's Word come to life. They were the ones who first taught me the David and Goliath story, the prodigal son story, the Christmas story, the Easter story. And I saw how that story and those stories came to life. God's powerful word, God's foundation in their lives. These are the people who came into the lives of my family when my dad died at age 37. And my mom was, as a young mom, trying to raise four little kids. Of course, she had me. I was 13, so I was her rock, I'm sure. Not at all. No, her rock was Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for that because that was her foundation. Which brings us to our story for today. I remember this passage of Scripture, Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25. I remember learning this story first from Mrs. Knutson, a Sunday school teacher, a Sparks leader. She taught us this story, and which made this story authentic was I knew Mrs. Knutson had had some storms in her life, and yet Jesus was her rock. God was her foundation. She made us act out this story in Sunday school class, and it stuck. And I've had to learn and relearn this story again and again, what it means for Jesus to be the rock and God to be our foundation, but the story stuck. And it reminded me in the challenging times what it meant to be a wise person by God's designing and to be allowed to live life in the context of God as the foundation. Conversely, I had to learn the opposite of that as well when we learn in the next few verses about the foolish man building his house on the sand. I learned that over and over again. Perhaps I learned many of those lessons when I was in high school and college, when, as my mom would say, I was too big for my britches. I was too self-reliant. I was too full of myself. A life lesson which I've had to learn and relearn over and over again, even as a pastor for the past 39 years. One of the things that became real for me over these 39 years has been watching Jesus' story come to life in the people that I've been called to be pastor of. For example, I remember on my internship, an internship where Walt Schmidt's dad also served as an intern, Hope Lutheran Church in Fostoria, Ohio. I remember leading my first Bible study, and I'm guessing that your dad, Walt, also had the experience of meeting Ruth Barnes. She was an incredible lady. She was legendary in her study of Scripture, and she was in my Bible study class. I was a little bit intimidated to have Ruth Barnes because everybody knew what a great Bible student she was. In fact, I think she probably knew more than some of my seminary professors, but she was incredible. And so when she showed up for my Bible study that I'm supposed to lead, I said, "Ruth, Mrs. Barnes, what are you doing here?" And she said, "Well, intern Olson." That got my attention. "I'm here because God called you here, right?" "Right. And if God called you here, then I'm expecting that God's going to teach me something through this Bible study. And if he doesn't teach me anything through you, then perhaps you'll learn something from me." So it worked out. And Ruth Barnes was an incredible Bible study partner in that very first Bible study because she had this incredible, at age 82, this incredible vast store of life experiences in which God's story had come to life. And so we learned from each other, from God's word. God's word, Jesus' stories came to life, and she truly believed in Jesus as her rock. God was her foundation. I remember a couple of years later when you're an intern, that happens right after a couple of years of seminary, and then you get to be kind of a practice pastor. You can make all kinds of mistakes and get away with it because you're just a practice pastor, and I made my fair share of mistakes and learned from them. I didn't learn everything those first few years, but I remember a couple of years later in the first church where I was serving as a pastor, and so I was really a rookie pastor. And I remember going to a hospital room to visit with Virginia Robinson. And I was really, really praying hard because I knew that Virginia had really tough circulatory problems. She had already had one leg amputated. It was possible that she was going to lose her second leg. And I didn't know what to say for her. In the short time that I'd been at this church, I'd managed to get a softball team going. Imagine that. And I couldn't imagine not being able to run, not being able to play softball. And here I'm supposed to be going be a pastor, a person. I had no idea what to say. So I prayed to God that God would give me the words. And God did. But those words did not come from my lips. Those words came from Virginia's lips. When I went in to visit with her, she said, "Pastor, isn't this incredible?" And I'm thinking, what's so incredible about losing a leg and possibly losing a second? She said, "This is phenomenal. You wouldn't believe the opportunities God has given me to witness my faith with the other amputees in this section of the hospital. You see, Pastor, I've got credibility. I've lost a limb and probably going to lose another one. They listen to me because they know that I know what they're going through." And so I learned so much from Virginia. She was going through a life experience that I did not want to go through, and yet she saw it as an opportunity to share God's word. Why? Because God was her foundation. Jesus was her rock, even in the midst of that situation. Over the course of time, these 39 years, I have learned so much from God's people, including you. as Jesus' stories have been lived out and come to life in incredible ways. Sometimes that's happened within the church. Sometimes that's happened in hospital rooms. And sometimes that's happened on the softball field. An amazing coincidence. Every church I've served has either had or soon developed a church softball team. That's an amazing coincidence. And over the course of time, some incredible relationships have been formed, some that began in really strange ways. For example, one day I remember getting a call from a guy. He was a softball player from another team, and he said, "Hey, Pastor, I'd like to talk with you." And I said, "And who are you again?" And he said, "Well, I play softball against you. You know, I'm the guy that you took out at home plate. You remember that?" I said, "Which one?" "From Church of Christ, that one." And I said, "Oh, yeah, that one. How are you doing?" He said, "Better. The rehab's going pretty well. You're not thinking of like suing me or something like that, are you?" I asked, and he said, no, "You were so good to me. You picked me up, you helped me up, you offered to pray for me." I said, "Good. So you're not going to sue?" He said, "No. Forget the sue talk. All I want to do is talk and want to pray. Is that okay?" And I said, "Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds real good." And so as we talked, he talked about how his marriage wasn't going very well. And he talked about his job wasn't going very good. And he said, "Can we get together and talk?" So we did. And you know what we talked about? We talked about this passage of Scripture. Talked about Jesus being the rock, God being the foundation when the storms of life come in. And it made a difference by God's grace. By God's doing, it made a difference. So I would imagine that most of us have been following that Thailand cave rescue, have we not? You've heard about that a little bit these last few weeks. It's an incredible story, isn't it? That's one of those almost I imagine that's going to be a movie someday. In fact, the word is it's already being made into a movie, even as we speak. You know, I don't know, because it comes from a different culture, I'm sure the world's going to put a lot of different spin on it, and we've heard a lot of stories already, but I don't know about you, but I've seen God's fingerprints all over that story. From the very beginning. And I know you've heard a lot about that story already, and there's more stories that are emerging, some phenomenal stories. It was an incredible feat. Were you aware, and I ask you this because I was not aware, were you aware that in that rescue attempt, there were over 10,000 people that participated in one way or another? There were 2,000 soldiers who were involved in one way or another. There were 200 divers who participated. There were over 100 government agencies in one way or another that were involved. Isn't it amazing what can happen when the world comes together for a common purpose for good? Isn't that amazing? And while the world may articulate it differently, I like the perspective that was given to that rescue by one of our own Good Shepherd Vacation Bible School students. The theme for Vacation Bible School this year was shipwrecked. Kind of a connection between the Thai cave experience and a shipwreck experience. Things were in disaster state, weren't they? And the theme with Shipwrecked was Jesus Rescues. And each day they explored a different theme, whether it's worry or whether it's powerlessness or whatever. There's a new theme, and every day the conclusion was Jesus Rescues. So this week we received an email from one of our Vacation Bible School moms. And she said this: "We, like the rest of our world, have been captivated by the Thai cave situation. When our son Cooper got up this morning, I was so excited to tell him that the rest of the soccer team and the coach had finally made it out of the cave and they were safe. We all clapped and danced. Then our son Cooper reiterated the Vacation Bible School theme by saying, 'When you are powerless, Jesus rescues.' Thank you for all you do to show the light of Jesus to our kids. We have such an incredible children's ministry team. And I thank God for them each and every day. That's so true. God has blessed Good Shepherd with such an incredible children's ministry team. They're taking care of our kids right now in Sparks. They're teaching about the love of Jesus, Jesus being the rock, God the foundation. Likewise, we have an incredible student ministry team. Do I see some Week of Hope t-shirts back there? Raise your hands, Week of Hopers. Awesome. Just way to go. You just got back from a Week of Hope in which you had the privilege of doing all kinds of tasks to help people in need, to see how Jesus was your rock and how God is our foundation. And there are people that are going to remember you for a very, very long time. And they're going to remember Jesus because of what Jesus did through you. So way to go. That's bringing this passage of Scripture to life. Likewise, we have a student ministry team that just got back from Guatemala. And they did incredible things. The kids, the ones that are wearing the teal-colored t-shirts, those are Thrivent Action Team t-shirts. And they applied for a Thrivent Action grant. And so in addition to the monies they were bringing, they got monies from Thrivent to do some special projects for the people in Guatemala. That's available to all of us, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, how we can use those dollars to serve others and help them understand how God is the foundation. So one of the things they did while they were there was they got to see and participate in the dedication of the Good Shepherd Learning Center. And you need to know this about the Good Shepherd Learning Center that you see right there. That learning center, built in Guatemala on a solid rock foundation, was built with monies from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Above and beyond mission dollars were used to build that. And they just this summer opened a preschool so they can teach the kids about Jesus. They have established Bible studies. They are doing service projects in the community for clean water and helping the people in a wide variety of incredibly necessary and needed things. And when that project began, it began as only a dream. It began based on the scripture from Ephesians chapter 3. God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever hope or imagine. And from that dream and from that promise from God's word, the Good Shepherd Learning Center has now been built and dedicated and is already in full use. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for the ways in which God inspired you to give generously of the resources with which God has blessed you. It's making a difference. It made a difference in Guatemala and will continue to. It's made a difference with Week of Hope and will continue to. It's made a difference in our Sparks ministry. When you are generous because of God's Spirit in you, it transforms lives. It makes a difference. So thank you. Thank you for what God is doing in and through you. Likewise, our Fusion ministry. Do you know in the time that Good Shepherd has had a Fusion ministry for special needs families, where there's a special needs family member? Do you know that the number of families with a special needs member, family member, has now quadrupled here at Good Shepherd? Thank you. Lives are being transformed. People are discovering what it means in real life to have God as the foundation, to have Jesus as the rock. And it makes a difference. When God uses you and God enables you to live a life of generosity, it makes a difference. Each and every day, I give God thanks. And I've been doing this for some 39 years. I give God thanks for the incredible people with whom I've had the privilege of serving. We have at Good Shepherd a phenomenal staff. They are so gifted and they are so good. And alongside of them come phenomenal people, you, who serve with them. And God is doing incredible things through you. And that generosity is making a difference. For example, I remember the day that I was leading sanctuary worship for our preschool, and one of the preschoolers said at the end of our time together, Pastor, you believe that one day you're going to go to heaven? And I said, yes, one day. And she said, well, me too. I'll see you there. I'm so grateful at that kind of faith birth in our kids and in the people that come to Good Shepherd, and the people in whose lives we get to impact in our community and in our world. You know that just this week, a study was concluded by Yale University, and they concluded a study on the topic was happiness. And of course, on the TV, they started it by playing Pharrell Williams, you know, happy, you know, song is great. And they, in this study, what they set out to do was find what are the keys to happiness. And in this study, they discovered that no matter what your social strata, no matter where you are in society, two of the keys to true happiness, and it cut across all kinds of categories in society, two of the keys that they found over and over and over again where people were living truly happy lives were gratefulness and generosity. Where people were living lives of gratefulness and generosity, their happiness quotient was sky high, well above the norm of society. So a week or so ago, our Friday folders, one of our Friday folder leaders, it's a great ministry. On Friday, they get together, they fold our prayer and action guides, and they put together worship materials, and they put together those packets with the prayer cards and all. They do that every Friday, and they gather for devotions and snacks. That's why I go. But they, the incredible ministry that they do, and this is the devotion, and I want to share it with you because it's an incredible story with a great surprise ending about gratefulness. It's a true story. It happens every Friday evening, almost without fail, when the sun resembles a giant orange and is starting to dip into the blue ocean. Old Ed comes strolling along the beach to his favorite pier. Clutched in his long hand is a bucket of shrimp. Ed walks out to the end of the pier, where it seems he almost has the world to himself. The glow of the sun is golden bronze now. Everybody's gone except for just a few joggers on the beach. Standing out in the end of the pier, Ed is alone with his thoughts and his bucket of shrimp. Before long, however, he is no longer alone. Up in the sky, 1,000 white dots come screeching and squawking, winging their way toward that lanky frame standing there at the end of the pier. Before long, dozens of seagulls have enveloped him, their wings fluttering and flopping wildly. Ed stands there tossing shrimp to the hungry birds. As he does, if you listen, you can hear him say, with a smile, thank you. Thank you. In a few short minutes, the bucket is empty, but Ed doesn't leave. He stands there lost in thought, as though transported to another time and place. Invariably, one of the gulls lands on his sea-bleached, weather-beaten hat, an old military hat he's been wearing for years. When he finally turns around and begins to walk back toward the beach, a few of the birds hop along the pier with him until he gets to the stairs, and then they fly away. Old Ed quietly makes his way down the stairs and back toward the end of the beach and on home. If you were sitting there on the pier with your fishing line in the water, Ed might look like a funny old duck, as my dad would say, or a guy that's one sandwich shy of a picnic, as my kids would say. To onlookers, he's just another old codger, lost in his own weird world, feeding seagulls with a bucket full of shrimp. But his full name is Eddie Rickenbacker, the famous hero from World War I. On one of his flying missions across the Pacific, he and his crew were shot down. Miraculously, all of the men survived that crash, crawled out of their plane, and climbed into a life raft. Captain Rickenbacker and his crew floated for days on the rough waters of the Pacific. They fought the sun. They fought sharks. Most of all, they fought hunger. By the eighth day, their rations had run out. No food, no water. They were hundreds of miles from land, and no one knew where they were. They needed a miracle. So that afternoon, they conducted a simple worship service. They shared God's word, and they prayed for a miracle. Then they tried to take a nap. Eddie leaned back and pulled his military cap over his nose. Time dragged. All he could hear was the slap of the waves against the raft. Suddenly, Eddie felt something land on the top of his cap. It was a seagull. Old Ed would later describe how he sat perfectly still, planning his next move. With a flash of his hand and a squawk from the gull, he managed to grab it and wring its neck. He tore the feathers off, and he and his starving crew made a meal, a very slight meal for eight men. Then they used the intestines for bait. With it, they caught fish, which gave them more food and more bait. With that simple survival technique, they were able to endure the rigors of the sea until they were found and rescued after 24 days at sea. Eddie Rickenbacker lived many years beyond that ordeal, but he never forgot the sacrifice of that first life-saving seagull and never stopped saying thank you. That's why most every Friday night he would walk to the end of the pier with a bucket full of shrimp and a heart full of gratitude. This story is an excerpt from a book entitled The Eye of the Storm by Max Lucado, one of my favorite authors. It highlights the importance of gratitude. God not only wants us to give thanks for the blessings he brings into our lives, but by doing so, we become more aware of how he desires to use us, to use lives of gratitude to make a difference in the lives of others. Friday night, just the night before last, we had a celebration of life service here at Good Shepherd. It was not a funeral. It was not a memorial service. We had strict orders from the person who had passed that we were allowed to have a celebration of life, but that would be what it would be, because she knew that Jesus was her rock, that God was her foundation, and she wanted that to be the core of the celebration of her life. One of the Bible verses that she picked out for her service was this one from Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Eddie Rickenbacker knew why he was saved. People of God know why we are saved: to live lives of gratitude and generosity, because we trust in Jesus as our rock, God as our foundation. Another of the verses that was so powerful to me that night as we celebrated Margaret's life was this verse from John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. What made that passage of Scripture powerful to me the other night was that Margaret lived those words. In her last days on earth, she experienced incredible pain. Incredible pain. And yet, in spite of her pain, she had peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding, because Jesus was her rock. Jesus was her foundation. And so she brought this passage of Scripture to life in the way in which God allowed her to live it. This summer, we have opportunity to bring to life God's word in a wide variety of ways. One of the ways in which we can do that is through what we are calling here at Good Shepherd, Summer of Serving. And in your Prayer and Action Guide, you'll see a whole list of ways in which we might engage in summer of serving, how God might use you to make a difference in the life of someone else, how God might allow Scripture to come to life in somebody else's life. So we have a group here at Good Shepherd. It's our Wednesday morning men's Bible study group, and they wanted to engage in summer of serving by putting together blessing bags. I love this passage of Scripture that's on the front of the blessing bag, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It talks about God knowing the plans He has for us, plans for hope and a future. And in this blessing bag, designed to be given to a homeless individual, in this are some real basics: a bottle of water, a roll of toilet paper, a new pair of socks, granola bars, toothpaste, toothbrush, some other various life-giving types of things. And so the idea is to take a blessing bag. They were the hands of Christ Wednesday morning putting these bags together, blessing bags, but giving us the opportunity to be the feet of Christ. So if you are in a vocation where work takes you downtown Chicago or places where you regularly see a homeless person or two, or if you are planning to travel down to Navy Pier or someplace this summer to enjoy, we invite you to take a blessing bag with you to share with a homeless person and to share God's love in a very tangible way, to let them see how Jesus is our rock and can be theirs too. And so after communion today, you'll be invited not only to receive the communion gift from God, but you'll be invited, if you are in this next week or so planning to be someplace where you might encounter a homeless person, you're invited to take a blessing bag with you and share God's blessing. There's a lot of different ways you can do that. Thrivent has action team grants. You can apply for those, and every Thrivent team member can get up to $250 to get supplies and things to bless other people. And if you're not a Thrivent member, maybe you know a friend who is, and they can be part of your project, and you can get those monies. Or we have mission dollars that are available as well that can be used for this purpose, to share God's word, God's love in a tangible way. I want to thank you for letting me be nostalgic today on July 15th, these 39 years after the day I was ordained. I want to thank you for being the hands and the feet of Christ. I want to thank you for living lives of gratitude and generosity, because by doing so, God brings a kind of happiness into our lives that is not measurable by earthly standards. I want to thank you for being the body of Christ. I want to thank you for pastoring with me and pastoring to me throughout these years of being with you. Not only was is today the 39th anniversary, but it was 21 years ago today that I arrived at Good Shepherd. And so I thank you for the ways in which God has and is and will be using you to be God's hands, God's feet, God's heartbeat in the lives of the people with whom we encounter. May God bless you as we pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much for the ways in which you bless us richly day after day after day. Let us, like Eddie Rickenbacker, have hearts of gratitude. Help us to remember once again that you loved us so much that you sent your Son as a sacrifice, as a Savior, for our sake and for our sinfulness, so that one day we might all live together with you in your heavenly home. But in the meantime, you give us these wonderful opportunities here on earth to serve your people, to care for the people that you bring into our lives, and to share your love, because you, dear Lord, are our rock. You are our foundation. In your name we pray. Amen.